Ephesians 5:15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that this passage of scripture that we've been in for many weeks is so rich. There's so much great stuff here. And even as we look at this one particular verse, verse 20 today, I pray that it would be a source of encouragement to us, a source of clear direction in terms of what you would have us to do, and that we might go away from here having drawn closer to you and indeed with an increased sense of gratitude. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. An atheist was walking through the woods, admiring all that evolution had created. What majestic trees! What powerful rivers, he thought to himself. What beautiful animals, he said out loud. As he was walking alongside the river, he heard a rustling in the brush behind him, and he turned to see a 7-foot grizzly coming out of the brush directly toward him. Obviously, that motivated him, and he began to run the opposite direction as fast as he could. But he sensed that that bear was still there, and glancing back at his shoulder, he saw indeed it was following him. He picked up his pace and ran as fast as he could, so scared that tears were starting to come to his eyes. Looked over his shoulder again, and this bear was gaining fast. There was no way he was going to outrun it. His heart was pumping frantically, and he tried to run even faster, and in so doing, he missed an obstacle in the ground and tripped over it and found himself on the ground. He quickly rolled over to be face-to-face with this bear, who had his paw reached up, ready to swat him, one ready to grab him. And at that instant, this atheist cried out, "Oh my God!" And time stopped. The bear froze in mid-swipe. The forest was silent. Even the river stood still. And then a voice came out of a bright light from heaven. The light shone on the man, and the voice said, "You deny my existence for all these years? You teach others that I don't exist? You even credit my beautiful creation to some sort of a cosmic accident? And do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Do you expect me to count you as a believer?" Well, the atheist looked directly into the light, and he acknowledged, "It would be hypocritical of me to ask you to treat me as a Christian now. But perhaps you could just make the bear a Christian?" "Very well," said the voice. The light went out. The river began to run again. The sounds of the forest resumed. And then the bear, who had been in mid-stroke, dropped his paw, brought both paws together, bowed his head, and said, "Lord, thank you for this food that I'm about to eat." Thankfulness is not listed in the scripture passages as a fruit of the Spirit, but there can be no doubt that thanksgiving is a product of being filled with the Spirit. It's what God does within us. And I believe that gratitude, thankfulness, can be both a cause and an effect when it comes to being filled with the Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit, one of the inevitable results, or you could read effects, will be that you are thankful to God for all that He has done, is doing, and will do. But additionally, I believe that if we practice the discipline of thankfulness, then you are obediently inviting the Lord to take control of your mind and of your attitudes and of your actions, which is a step of faith to cooperate with God, yielding the result of being filled with the Spirit. That is, doing such a thing can cause you to be in a position where now God will fill you with His Holy Spirit. So today, as we look at each of the elements of Ephesians 5:20, I'm going to look at them from two perspectives. First, as a discipline, that is, as a practice that we put into place, as a habit, and that's a habit that every one of us should be working on and developing. And then secondly, we're going to look at it as an effect of being filled with the Spirit. And even though these seem very similar, I'm going to point out to you how I think they're slightly different. So let's start here with give thanks always. Number one on your outlines, give thanks always. And of course, right in there in Ephesians 5:20, that's where he says, giving thanks always. Now the word always addresses the frequency of your thanksgiving. This addresses the frequency of your thanksgiving. We are told to give thanks, and we know that we should give thanks. How often should we do that? Well, according to the Scripture, we are to do this always. So I'm going to look at this first as a discipline that you should work on developing, and then secondly, as an effect of what happens when you are filled with the Spirit. So let's start with the discipline, point A. The discipline of always giving thanks causes your mind to focus on positive truth. The discipline of always giving thanks causes your mind to focus on positive truth as opposed to selfish pessimism. Now, some of us, unfortunately, are naturally selfishly pessimistic. We are the type that see the glass always as half empty instead of half full. We're the type that buy into this idea that if something can go wrong, no doubt it will, and it will be to me. And I'll be the negative recipient of that. And we're always thinking these types of negative thoughts. Those kind of thoughts, unfortunately, don't create an atmosphere of gratitude. So I'm suggesting that the discipline, the habit of always giving thanks, causes your mind to focus on positive truth. Now, as a discipline, giving thanks should be an activity that you practice regularly with the intention of integrating it into the flow of your life. You want to practice giving thanks, repeating this until it eventually becomes what we would refer to as second nature, or what I believe the Scriptures would refer to as the new nature. We want to practice this until the new nature takes full control so that this becomes a habit. Indeed, we read in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and following, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Pause there. I'm going to read more verses, but I just want you to note that even as he's telling us not to be worried and to bring all of our requests to God, he qualifies that with this expression, with thanksgiving. He wants us to focus on the positive truth of what God has done. So, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Reading on in Philippians 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brothers, this is verse 8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about such things." The command of Scripture is that you need to develop this discipline. The discipline of thinking positive, truthful thoughts about God and what He's doing. The positive truth is that we have much for which to be thankful, and we need to discipline ourselves to have those types of thoughts. Thoughts that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Think about such things. So those of us who have this natural inclination to think very pessimistic thoughts, negative thoughts, oh, woe is me type thoughts, nothing ever works well for me type thoughts, we need to get over that. We need to train ourselves to think the way that God wants us to think. Indeed, back in Ephesians chapter 5, some verses back, verse 4, we were there some many weeks ago. It says, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." Well, foolish talk, crude joking, that's what our culture is all about right now. And the Bible says you need to get rid of those things. Not just get rid of them, but replace them. You push those things out, the crude joking, the foolish talk, the bad language, you push all of that out and you replace it with thanksgiving. And that's going to require putting your mind in the right place, thinking the thoughts God wants us to think. Give thanks always, it says. Well, how often should you thank God?
Always.
Well, what does that mean? Well, we could say regularly. And I would suggest that regularly is probably a good translation. However, some of you may think, well, I go to church regularly. So if I'm supposed to give thanks regularly, then once a week I'm going to give thanks. And I'd suggest that's not quite going to cut it. Once a week? I mean, let's just assume that you're going to do this once a week. So there's one out of seven. That's 14%. 14% of the time you're giving thanks. And that's assuming that first thing you do in the morning on Sunday is you start giving thanks and you don't stop until you go to bed Sunday night. Okay, so now we're getting 14. Is that really what we're talking about here? Obviously, that's not what we mean by regularly. I would suggest that a good application of the word always, as it's found in verse 20 of our context, give thanks always, is to use the expression habitually. We're going to develop a habit. That's what we're talking about. Giving thanks always means giving thanks habitually. You should be in the habit of giving God thanks. That's what God wants from us. So every time you pray, part of your prayer ought to be thanksgiving. Now I know we sometimes come to God because things turn bad or we're in a crisis situation and we immediately cry out to God for help, like when that bear's after us. We're going to cry out to God, but we ought to also be giving thanks. Every time we pray, we should be giving thanks. Every time we open the Bible, you should be thanking God. Do you know what a small percentage of the population of this world holds a Bible in their hands? We have the Bible, and most of us have multiple copies. You ought to be thanking God every time you open a Bible. You ought to be thanking God that the Bible is His Word and He's given it to us. That we can hear the Word of God. We can read the Word of God. We can see what God wants us to see. We can study God's Word. We ought to thank God for the Bible every time you open it. Every time you get up in the morning, you ought to thank God. Thank you, Lord, for giving me whatever rest I got last night. Thank you for bringing me to this day. You're the one who gives me life. Thank you, Lord, for life. Oh, admittedly, some of us wake up not feeling all that great. You may be dealing with health issues, but the very fact that you are here and alive is an expression of God's mercy and grace. Thank God for that. And then when you go to bed in the evening, you ought to be thanking God. Thank you, God, for your grace to get me through this day. I know we've got, at the end of the day, we've probably got some confession to do, and appropriately so, as a part of our thanksgiving. We're going to thank God that He is the forgiver of sins through Jesus Christ. We're going to thank God for forgiving our sins, for getting us through that day, for supplying all of our need, for the meals that we've eaten, for the roof over our head. We're going to thank God for those things. It needs to be a habit so that every time you pray, you are giving thanks. That every time you eat, you are giving thanks. Who put that food there? We ought to be thanking God that He is the one that has supplied all of our need. Every time you, and I'm going to let you fill in the blanks. We could go on and on and on. The whole point is that we are regularly, habitually going to be giving God thanks. That's a discipline you need to develop. And even though some of us may be thinking, I don't feel thankful, we still need to be giving thanks. And we need to do it habitually. This is what the Scriptures tell us. Point B, one effect, so now we've moved from the cause to the effect. One effect of being filled with the Spirit is that you regularly express thankfulness. Now this sounds more or less like the last point, but the last point is encouraging you and me to develop habits that are pleasing to God. This point has to do that with the fact that when you develop those habits and you are fully surrendered to God, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to find that thanksgiving comes naturally, far more naturally than before. You will regularly express thankfulness. Both prayer and thanksgiving do become second nature, because our second nature is our spiritual nature. It is our nature that Jesus Christ has brought to life. Prayer and thanksgiving flow from that. Colossians 4:2 says it this way, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Prayer and thanksgiving go together, and we ought to be expressing that to God. So thank God for all the things that He's put into your life. Thank God for your daily food, for example. I mentioned that one earlier. Do we really need to give thanks to God for our food? After all, I worked the job that earned the money to buy the groceries, to cook them and put them on my plate. My question to you is, who gave you the health to earn that money? Who gave you the job? Who is it that provides everything you need? Who gives you the mouth to be able to eat? And besides that, God Himself commanded us to give thanks when we eat. Where, you ask? I'm glad you ask. 1 Timothy 4:4. Everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. I believe that every time you sit down and eat, you ought to start by giving God thanks before you stuff anything in your mouth and acknowledge that it is from Him. Everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected, except maybe Brussels sprouts, but that's another story, if it is received with thanksgiving. So when we come to God, we're going to thank Him that He has provided us with this food. Give Him the glory that's due Him, because He's the source of it all. Number two, give thanks for everything. Now this again is right out of our scripture passage, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks for everything. And this term, everything, addresses the subject of your thanksgiving. The subject of your thanksgiving. So the last one was dealing with the frequency of your thanksgiving, that you ought to always, regularly, habitually give thanks. And now we're told the subject of your thanksgiving, everything. Are we really supposed to be thankful for everything? Okay, well, let's address that. Point A, the discipline of giving thanks for everything causes you to see things from God's perspective. The discipline, that means that you are working on this. You are working to develop this habit. The discipline of giving thanks for everything causes you to better see things from God's point of view, from God's perspective. As a discipline, giving thanks for everything may begin as a willful choice to express thanks, even though you may not feel thankful. Now stop and think about it. We tell our kids that when they were little. You train up your children. When they get something, they're supposed to say thank you. They may not feel thankful. You don't care what they feel. You're going to teach them good manners. So you say thank you. Make them say that. Well, in essence, that's the same thing God does with a bunch of baby Christians. He says, you know, I'm really not concerned how you feel right now. I want you to do the right thing. You may think that you're the one responsible for putting this food on your table. Well, wise up and see what I've said, and now you do the right thing. You give thanks. So we are giving thanks, even if we don't feel thankful. And admittedly, there are many times when we may not feel thankful. The point is that you should practice giving thanks for everything with the intention of integrating it into the flow of your daily life, just as I said before, repeating it and repeating it until eventually it becomes second nature or spiritual nature, new nature. It becomes a part of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. So we are disciplining ourselves to give thanks for everything. Indeed, we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I will admit, it's easy for me to give thanks for the things I like. And I think most of us would be on board with that. You know, come Thanksgiving season, we gather around our table and inevitably we start rehearsing a list of things that we like. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. We ought to be giving thanks for that. It's easy for me on a daily basis to thank God for the things that have gone well, for the answers to prayer that went exactly the way that I told God they needed to go. I like those kinds of answers. It's easy for me to be thankful for the things I like. It's far more difficult for me to be thankful for the things that I don't like, for the difficulties that I experience in life. For Brussels sprouts, for example. Okay, I had several of the first service came back out and told me how much they like Brussels sprouts. And you can pray for me, but right now I'm just not there. But I'll give thanks. If that was all I had to eat, I'll eat it and I'll give thanks. Admittedly, it might be a bit of a stress, but I can discipline myself to do that. The truth is that every day we face things that we don't like. And when we're dealing with those things, we still need to express to God gratitude. And that's why you have to work on it. That's why we call it a discipline. Now, the Bible does not teach that you need to be thankful for wickedness or evil or anything that is sin at its base. I am not telling you be thankful for evil things. I'm not telling you to be thankful for your sin. The Bible does not teach that. Rather, the Bible teaches that we are to give God thanks in all circumstances because we know that ultimately God is going to work those circumstances for His glory and for our good. So I'm not thanking God for sin. God does not like sin. God hates sin. Jesus Christ went to the cross to die because of our sins. He does not like sin. But in spite of the fact that I'm a sinner and I still sin, I can thank God that even under those circumstances, God is still on His throne, and ultimately He's still going to be glorified, and that He is able to use even those things that I detest and the things I dislike in order to bring about what is ultimately good for me, as indeed we read in Romans 8:28. For we know that all for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. That doesn't mean all things are good. It means that all things work together for good. For that, I can be thankful. Even though bad things may happen, I can still be thankful. And I think that's what the Scriptures tell us to do. Discipline yourself. Develop the habit of giving thanks in all circumstances for all things. Point B, one effect of being filled with the Spirit is that you learn to be thankful for everything. All right, so remember point A is that you develop the discipline of giving thanks even though you don't feel thankful. But the result of being filled with the Spirit is that now you genuinely do feel thankful. That you learn to be thankful for everything. So as you grow into spiritual maturity, as you are filled with the Spirit, you are going to find that heartfelt thankfulness truly does become normal. It becomes the pattern of your life. So at first we work on developing that habit, and then as God's Spirit fills us more and more and we are being led and controlled by the Spirit of God, the norm becomes an attitude of thankfulness, of gratefulness. Colossians 2:6, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And as we've studied the last few months, that walk in Him essentially means be filled with the Spirit. That's what we're saying. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, or be filled with the Spirit, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That's the result of being filled with the Spirit. At the very outset of trying to develop a discipline like this, we are probably not abounding in thanksgiving. We may even be doing the begrudging type thing. Okay, God, well, I know I'm supposed to be thankful, so thank you for it. And we may have that kind of a thing. And by the way, I think there's a certain degree to which God is pleased with that, because at least we are putting forth the effort that He's told us to put forth. But as His Spirit fills us because of our willingness to do what He's told us to do, eventually we develop thankful hearts. It's there. And I really am thankful. And some of your pessimistic friends may say to you, well, what do you have to be thankful about? That opens you the door of opportunity to be able to share with them what Jesus Christ is doing in your life. Amen. Number three, give thanks to the Father. Give thanks to the Father. And this phrase addresses the object of your thanksgiving. That's our next slide, the object of thanksgiving. So, giving thanks to God the Father, verse 20 says. As we talk about this point, I want to be careful that you don't misunderstand where I'm going with this. Because I had someone come out in first service feeling like they'd been praying wrong. So listen carefully as we review these particular truths so that you understand where we're going and you also understand the marvelous grace of God. So let's talk about the discipline. Point A, the discipline of giving thanks to God the Father reinforces God's sovereignty and goodness. The discipline of giving thanks to God the Father, the habit of praying and giving thanks to God the Father reinforces God's sovereignty and goodness. It really reinforces your perception or your comprehension of God's sovereignty and goodness. God is sovereign. God is good. But as we build a habit of giving thanks to God the Father, it reinforces those truths in our minds and our hearts. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." We are to be grateful. Why? Because our God has delivered to us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. This is the sovereignty and goodness of God. We are to offer to God the Father acceptable worship. We are to give Him the reverence that is due Him. We are to view Him in awe. Not in a casual, flippant manner, but to recognize that the God who created the heavens and the earth and everything that exists has created an invisible kingdom, a kingdom that we cannot necessarily see right now, and He has granted us the privilege of being a part of that kingdom for eternity, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. To recognize that this is the God that we serve, this is the God to whom we pray, reinforces the character of that God. We need to work on developing the habit of thanksgiving. So prayers to God, whether we're talking about thanksgiving or praises in a broader sense or specific requests, throughout the Scriptures, they are emphatically presented in Scripture as being addressed to God the Father. So follow with me here. Jesus teaches the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and it starts like this. Let me hear it. Our Father, who art in heaven. That's where it starts. Our Father. This is a prayer to God the Father. We see it in Ephesians chapter 3 where Paul says, verse 14, I bow my knees before the Father. And I'm only giving you a couple of references here. You start reading, especially in the epistles, and you're going to see that invariably the prayers that are spelled out for us are addressed to God the Father. Now, because of the nature of the Trinity, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we've emphasized so many times and given you biblical proof for these things, three persons, one God. There's only one God, but there are three persons within the Godhead. And all three are absolutely equal. When we pray to God the Father, but it's not like that if you pray to Jesus, that's not going to get through to God the Father. They're one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons, and to speak to any of them is to speak to all of them. Praying to one is praying to all. That being said, the guidance of Scripture is that we pray to the Father. Now again, I want you to be careful not to misread me. I'm not suggesting that if you pray in Jesus' name, or if you pray, Dear Jesus, that somehow or another God says, sorry, you forgot the formula, you're out. That's not the way this works. We are praying to God. But I also think there's a reason God has given us such clear guidance in the Scripture, and that is that this is the way He wants us to pray. God the Father. So we are praying primarily to God the Father. And when you practice the discipline of giving thanks to God the Father, it reinforces your comprehension of your Heavenly Father's sovereignty and goodness. Yes, God is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But as we pray to God the Father, it's just a reminder to ourselves and a reinforcement to ourselves that God the Father has blessed us in all of these ways and that all glory and praise belongs to Him. Now, let me give you a sidebar here. This one isn't in your notes, but I think it's important for us to understand the opposite side of this issue. And that is, if we do not pray, if we do not give thanks to God, that lack of thankfulness actually drives you away from God the Father. If you have a perpetually unthankful heart, I can guarantee you, you are not close to God. because that drives us away from God into an increasing ungodliness. Romans 1 says it this way, verse 21, although they, and in this case he's talking about unbelievers, but by application I know many believers who kind of fit into this category. Although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Be careful, my brothers and sisters. A lack of thankfulness will drive you away from God and cloud your mind to be unable to comprehend spiritual truth. That's why we need to work on the discipline of thankfulness, even if we don't necessarily feel thankful. And we come to God and we pray to God the Father, recognizing that He is the sovereign over the entire universe. That brings me to point B. One effect of being filled with the Spirit is that God the Father is glorified in your thanksgiving. One effect of being filled with the Spirit is that God the Father is glorified in your thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What does that mean? It means to be filled with the Spirit. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Giving thanks to God the Father. Jesus said, I came to do my Father's will. And in Jesus' life and ministry, God the Father is glorified. And as we follow the practice that Jesus taught us of praying to God the Father, we are giving glory to God the Father. Jesus told us that the Spirit would be coming and that the Spirit would only do what He was instructed to do by the Son and by the Father. The Spirit brings glory to the Son brings glory to the Father, and ultimately the Father is going to hand over that glory to the Son because of the unity that exists within the Godhead and the beautiful plan of salvation that has been accomplished accordingly. I would encourage us, even in our prayer lives, to practice giving thanks to God the Father. But I would also say that even as that becomes second nature, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we are going to find that in our prayers of thanksgiving, God the Father is glorified. Number four, give thanks in Jesus' name. Give thanks in Jesus' name. The subject of our thanksgiving is everything. We're supposed to give thanks in everything. That's what the Scriptures say. The object of our thanksgiving is God the Father. We are pointing our attention to God the Father, who has graciously blessed us in all of these ways. But the framework of your thanksgiving is Jesus Christ. This phrase addresses the framework. Give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what do I mean by the framework of thanksgiving? Well, let me develop that by starting with what I mean by the discipline. Point A, the discipline of giving thanks in Jesus' name constantly reminds you that God's grace comes through Jesus. The grace of the Father comes through the Son, Jesus Christ. So the discipline of giving thanks in Jesus' name constantly reminds you that God's grace comes through Jesus. Most of us are familiar with the expression that is common, especially in evangelical circles and in our own church, and that is that as we bring a prayer to a close, we typically say something like, in Jesus' name, which is kind of code to mean, I'm almost to the amen, but not quite there yet. But it shouldn't be just that. The expression, in Jesus' name, is not just formula. It's not just a secret password so that we can now say, I've asked in Jesus' name and so God's going to do it. This is the framework upon which our prayers, thanksgiving and all other prayers, are built. That I am coming to God the Father in the framework of Jesus Christ. The discipline of giving thanks in Jesus' name is a reminder that God's grace comes through Jesus. I want to read for you from Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, 16, and 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. There is a threefold emphasis on gratitude in these few verses. And once again, it makes it clear that our prayers ought to be characterized by thankfulness. Yeah, there's a place for us to make requests, but we ought to be thankful more than anything else. Thankful that for all that God has done, thankful for what He is doing, and thankful for all that He's going to do. We ought to be giving thanks for those things. Threefold emphasis on gratitude. But I also want to reread those same three verses, or four verses, 15, 16, 17, three verses in Colossians chapter 3, and note the emphasis on Jesus as the framework of grace. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In other words, our thanksgiving is totally built upon the framework of Christ. Christ is the source of all my blessings. God the Father has poured out His grace through Jesus Christ. There are many who pray to God the Father, but they do not pray through Jesus Christ. They pray to God the Father, but they reject God the Son. There are many who would argue all over our world, well, you know, we all worship the same God. We just do it in different ways. And unfortunately, I've even heard people from my own congregation make such a blasphemous statement. We all worship the same God. We just do it in different ways. Well, let me share something with you. When it comes to our prayers of thanksgiving or any other prayers, those who pray to God but reject Jesus Christ, their prayers are rejected by God. How do I know that? Because Jesus said it. John chapter 8, in verse 41, Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders of His day. These were Jewish religious leaders who rejected the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and they said, no doing, I have nothing to do with you. They despised Jesus. But they claimed a right relationship with God the Father. And here's what Jesus said to them. John 8, 41. You are doing the works your father did. And they said to Him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love Me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of My own accord, but He sent Me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear My word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. When someone prays to God, even though they may pray with sincerity and they may have some genuine feelings of gratitude, but they have rejected Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, those prayers are meaningless to God. They are being motivated through selfishness, even though they may feel within themselves that it's motivation through gratitude. Because if we are not praying through Jesus Christ, if the framework is not there, we're not getting to God the Father. Jesus Christ is the framework that takes us to God the Father. So when we pray in Jesus' name, it is not just a formula, it is a recognition that apart from Jesus, I can't even pray. Apart from Jesus, I have nothing. Apart from Jesus, I face a Christless eternity, suffering in hell. But through Jesus Christ, God has graciously given me all things. So when I come to God and I give thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Because the grace of salvation and all of its benefits has come exclusively through Jesus. John 1:17 says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's our source. Through Jesus Christ. Point B. One effect of being filled with the Spirit is that your thanksgiving is inevitably connected to Jesus. Your thanksgiving is inevitably connected to Jesus. And I'll take you back to Colossians 1 again. I read this earlier, verses 10 through 14. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, which means be filled with the Spirit, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom. Which kingdom? The kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom, in Jesus, the beloved Son, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When I am living a life of being filled with the Spirit, controlled and empowered by the Spirit, my thanksgiving is invariably connected to Jesus. Because unless Jesus was involved in this, I've got nothing. And yet that becomes second nature. That becomes the new nature. It's the way in which we pray. So I ask you this morning, are you thankful? And let me take it another step. Do you regularly, habitually express your thankfulness to God? Do you tell Him how thankful you are? And do you thank Him for everything or just the things that were the good ones on your list? As you strive to live a life of being filled with the Spirit, we're supposed to be thankful. Let me ask it one other way. Are you thankful enough? Now, most of us here are probably going to have to acknowledge, no, I'm not thankful enough. Because it seems like on a regular basis, I discover more and more things from my relationship with God for which I need to be thankful. And I'm convinced that I'm going to discover more yet. God has blessed us. In the opening verses of Ephesians, we're told that He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Who can comprehend that? I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Underline, circle, underscore, write it in bold. Every spiritual blessing. I cannot comprehend that. What does it tell me? It tells me I'm not thankful enough because I still don't understand all the blessings that He's given me. So I'm challenging you. First of all, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you have no framework upon which to approach God. You are in your sins and destined for hell. Because the only way we get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, except through this framework. So if you've never accepted Christ, today needs to be the day of salvation. But I also say to you, my brothers and sisters who have already professed Jesus as Savior and Lord, you need to work on the discipline of thanksgiving. Let me put it this way in conclusion. Make thanksgiving a daily priority and keep it up until it becomes a part of your very identity. Make thanksgiving a daily priority. It's something you have to work on. And if this has not been a daily priority for you, I would encourage you to start making some lists, to put postings on your refrigerator or your bathroom mirror, right there with your Bible, wherever it may be, just to remind yourself to give thanks. Maybe use this study guide as a way to remind yourself. So make thanksgiving a daily priority and keep it up until it becomes a part of your very identity. What do I mean, a part of your identity? Ask yourself this. Do the people that know you, would they say about you, that is just a very thankful person? I want it to be a part of my identity. I want people to say about me, Pastor Keith is thankful. I want that to be a part of me, not just for your benefit, but because I want to be known as one who gives glory to God and thanks God for all He's done for me. And He's blessed us in innumerable ways, hasn't He? Well, are you ready to count your blessings with me? I'm going to have the worship team come up and join us. Join me in prayer as they come up. Lord, thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You for Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Thank You that through Him, the doors of heaven have been opened so that we who trust in Him can come into Your very presence. Thank You, Lord, that we are the recipients of Your countless blessings. When we opened up in the first chapter of Ephesians, the whole point was that You have blessed us beyond our imagination. And that our blessings are not just the blessings we have right here and now, but they are the blessings of eternity. Thank you, Lord. And increase our spirit of thanksgiving. Lord, as we count our blessings, let us go from here with a fresh sense of what a marvelous, merciful, and gracious God you are. Let us go from here with a sense that Jesus Christ has opened the door for us to be so abundantly blessed. And let us give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.